Is he still on hold?
Holding or? For the council. Hey, I'll talk to you later. I'm going to check that out. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Keith, switch to line 6. John, are you still there?
Yeah, that's me. That's yes. Yeah.
Okay, sorry about that. I guess someone forgot to tell you that we were going to do the council today. Hey, just hold on the line. I think in about another hour, an hour and a half, we'll get the council going. So stand by.
Oh, great. Morning, Breath.
Keith, dial it in for Screw Attack. Let's open the line. Stuttering Craig. Dallas, Texas, go!
Hey, this is Stuttering Craig or whatever.
Welcome to the show, Stuttering Craig. Now, this is a star-studded special holiday blowout on We Talk Games, and this is the first time. We're going to have a lot of firsts, and this is the first time ever we have a special correspondent guest, because you have an affinity towards the internet and game reviews and internet video gaming fame, because you are a part of the Screw Attack.
Well, thanks. Yeah, I'd like to think that we done some pretty cool things, but it's been a cool ride the last 4 years or so. It's exciting.
Fantastic. Now, when I first heard about Screw Attack, I was incredibly excited because I was like, yes, a group that finally is going to show props to one of my favorite features of You Don't Know Jack, the Screw Attack. but then I got deflated because I realized that it was probably more likely a nod to the Metroid. But how did Screw Attack come about?
Well, Screw Attack, the incredible website, started in February of 2006. And oddly enough, when we were searching for names for Screw Attack, Screw Attack wasn't like our first choice. It wasn't our second choice. It was just kind of the choice that was there. And it turned out to be a great play on words for kind of what we do. We started off looking for names like White Ring and, you know, things that would, like, I guess, weren't exactly mainstream gaming, but if you were a gamer, you knew what they were. And so we're looking for like White Ring from like Zelda and Red Ring. But Red Ring, oddly enough, at the time didn't have the same meaning as it does now, you know. So there was a lot of, with the 360 and such. But
sure.
So we stumbled upon Screw Attack and we were like, surely Screw Attack is taken. But it wasn't. And we were like, holy crap, we got to do that. So we took Screw Attack and, it's been a crazy, crazy, like I said, going on 4 years in February. So.
Yeah, hugely popular. Glad that we somehow wiggled our way into there with just you're promoting some podcasts and the little guys, so that's nice.
Well, the thing is, we just relaunched our website, and it's really exciting for us because it allows everybody. Screw Attack is now essentially a platform for everybody to be seen, you know, and that's one of the things. We've had a great platform for us to be seen, and just now we've recently switched over to where, you know, our community and everybody else can upload videos and upload their podcasts and upload their images and upload their MP3s they make or whatever it may be. It's now an essential a hub for everything, for all these gamers, and we thought, well, we're making this thing, so let's give everybody the same treatment that we've received, and that's because we know that there's a lot of really, really talented people out there that just haven't had an opportunity to be seen, or that are either getting buried on YouTube or their site's just not large enough. And we thought, well, let's just make this one central hub for all things gaming. And it's really been awesome the first few weeks of our launch.
Now, what made Screw Attack happen?
Well, I graduated school and I was like, I really don't want to work for anybody else. Right after I finished college, my past is really checkered in terms of like the crazy things that I've done. I've worked as an MC, like a master of ceremonies for Coca-Cola for a while. And I did the Winter Olympics in 2002 up in Salt Lake City. And I did like spring break. And I interned for Walt Disney World. And I played this sport called slam ball. And I worked on the radio for a short time. And like, so I have like all these crazy things. And Screw Attack's kind of the culmination of all my crazy skills, like in one place, I suppose. With one of my passions, which is gaming, you know, so that's kind of how it all came about, I suppose, and that's kind of where Screw Attack, the beginning, started, I suppose. Just saying, you know, I really don't want to work for anybody else. We want to be our own boss, you know.
Sure, so. Sure. Right on. And what are some of your earliest gaming memories?
Oh man, obviously I've been gaming. You know, I got the Nintendo, the NES, probably 1985, 86 when it first came out, and. You know, I got memories, you know, obviously playing original Mario Brothers, but Tetris played a big role in my kidhood, I suppose. We had this really old, giant, it was like a big TV, but it was really old and ancient looking. It was one of those where the power button, you actually had to press in on it, and it wasn't like a button, you actually had to press in when it was on. it was physically pressed in, and when you wanted to turn it off, you had to press the off button, which pressed that in and pushed the on button out.
Sure.
Anyways, it was really rickety and old. But I remember playing Tetris on that and the old school NES library, getting the NES Max controller, the turbo controller they had.
Sure. Yeah.
Like, that wasn't even mine. My brother got that, but I totally abused that.
Like a squished letter N.
Yeah, it was exactly. It was kind of like a tiny letter N, but and it had this weird circular type thing. It was kind of like
the disc.
Yeah, like it was like a disc, I suppose. Yeah, but it was supposed in theory supposed to allow you to move better and such. But
sure.
You know, we all know that the NES pretty much had an 8-way forward, mm-hmm. back, down in the directions. It was really pretty rickety, but it was cool. So a lot of my memories revolve around that. I also it's really stupid when the Super Nintendo. It's funny because my office has the office here has all sorts of like old school Super Nintendo. Posters and such. Like, I'm staring at one right now. It's got new games that are coming out, like Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past. That's coming soon, you know?
Yeah.
But when the Super Nintendo came out, I was like in fourth grade, and I remember this girl had it, and I was like, holy crap, you got the Super Nintendo? And I was like, no way. And I made her bring the instruction booklet to Super Mario World to school, because I didn't believe her. And she brought it, and I was like, oh my God, that's the coolest thing ever. So...
with him riding Yoshi on the flat black background. Yeah, I was a Nintendo rep at that time, so yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's cool. So you get to hear all these crazy stories. So what are you being a Nintendo rep, I'm gonna fanboy out on you. So tell me about that. What was that like?
Well, I was a lone wolf Nintendo rep. I was sort of like off in a corner. Nintendo sent me things, but I never really contacted anyone from Nintendo. They would just send me things to talk about in the store. Most of it was propaganda, like how inferior the Sega CD was, and don't worry, you know, Nintendo's working close with Sony on the PlayStation attachment for the Super Nintendo that will allow for CD-ROMs. It also pushed out the TurboGrafx even at the time. They were trying to say how superior they were to the TurboGrafx and the Genesis.
Yeah, of course.
It was mostly how to bash the competition, because there was a Sega rep working the same stores that I was working. So
that's really cool to hear, and I love to hear those stories about, especially, you know, you hearing behind the scenes that, you know, that Sony and Nintendo are working together on this crazy thing called PlayStation, you know, and then see that just absolutely fall apart, and now they're bitter enemies or competing against each other as rival companies. I love that. It's so cool to hear.
Yeah, it was an exciting time. And, well, you know, the sound chip on the Super Nintendo was great, and that was a Sony sound chip, and Sony really milked the licensing out of that from Nintendo. It was a very exciting time. I was glad to be a part of it back then. And I still have, you know, like my Super Nintendo tape measure and a little pen set and an apron that said "Ask Me" and things like this that I had to wear. And
those are sweet.
Yeah, and right now I'm looking at the selection box for Nintendo Power. You came with Laserdiscs that you put into this gimmick here, and then you would press what Game Boy, NES, or Super Nintendo game you want to preview on screen, and then it'll show some 4-year-old saying, "Nintendo's the best!
Nintendo's the best!"
I'm four!
It's funny. You know, like, the average gamer now is like 30-something, but it's funny, if you watch like gaming commercials now, they're still marketed towards like young kids, or you watch like a Toys R Us ad or Best Buy ad, and they always have like 12-year-olds playing video games, I suppose. But it's just interesting to see how that all came around. But that's awesome. Remember Laserdiscs? Those were great.
Yeah, I still have a large Laserdisc collection, and in fact I have a CED collection, which is the capacitance electronic disc, which was came out with the first wave to compete against the Laserdiscs when Laserdiscs first came out in the 70s. But nice. that plays off of actually a record. So you have a record with a diamond needle that is 5 times thinner than a regular phonograph needle that was doing the audio while the video was being read from a magnetic gimmick in the middle of the record.
That sounds so old school.
RCA.
Like, that's crazy.
It's steampunk in the 70s. Yeah.
That's nuts. I love it.
Stuff. So speaking of gaming, so what have you been playing lately?
I've been busy. I've been playing a lot of stuff. Obviously, New Super Mario Brothers. That definitely has an old school vibe to it. I've been playing a lot of Modern Warfare 2. That's probably the game I've been spending the most time on. Uncharted 2, obviously, is phenomenal. You know, we have a Street Fighter machine here at the HQ.
Okay, which version?
We have two. We have Street Fighter II, Hyper Fighting, actually Rainbow Edition, which is the jacked up super hack version, which is crazy fun. We'll bust that out every once in a while. But we also have the one that gets it the most run is just Street Fighter III. It's Street Fighter III, the new fighters, as opposed to Double Impact or Third Strike. So it's like the first Street Fighter III.
Gotcha.
We just actually put some new sticks in it because we abused it so much.
Sure. What old style games do you end up going back to?
Obviously, platformers are big for me. I love, even with, have you heard of the indie game on Xbox Live called Jump?
That I have not heard of.
It's a really great little independent game that actually one of our old interns made a video about and posted on Screw Attack. It's very old school in that you have one button, you jump. Your job is to get past certain things in your way and make it from ledge to ledge and collect gold or whatever. But I love platformers. Super Mario Brothers comes to mind. Any game that involves jumping or two dimensions, I'm usually a fan of. Super Metroid is by far one of the greatest games of all time.
How about Jumpman Jr.?
Jumpman Jr.? What is that?
What? You don't know Jumpman Jr.?
I'm
one of the best ColecoVision games ever.
See, the ColecoVision was just a tad before me, and I wish I could tell you I have a whole lot of experience, but I don't. I don't have a whole lot of time with ColecoVision, or I do have a lot of time with the Intellivision. I played a lot of Intellivision.
Very good.
Yes.
That was a 16-bit engine, you know?
Was it? I don't know.
Yep,
it
was.
I'm not so much a technical guy. I'm more so just a play it and see if I like it guy, you know?
Sure.
That's really cool. It was a 16-bit engine.
Yeah, and it looks, horrible, but that was a 16-bit engine. But Jumpman Jr., you got to check that out. Coleco, you can get that somehow, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure it's available online somewhere.
Yep.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah, so, platformers, fighters are they played a big role in how I grew up. My favorite console of all time is the Super Nintendo, so that's always a fallback for me. I mean, I could play anything on the Super Nintendo and I'd be good, whether it be Castlevania or Pilot Wings or Super Tennis. I can play it all. So,
how soon after the launch of the Super Nintendo did you have one in your house?
No, I was talking about that girl earlier in my fourth grade class, and I was so blown away. I think it was probably that Christmas, I guess. It definitely wasn't when it was first launched because, back then the only thing you had to go by was Nintendo Power. There was no internet. It wasn't crazy like it is today and 24 hours nonstop information.
Sure.
So essentially being a fan of Nintendo and you had Nintendo Power, you had EGM, and you had to go by what they had to say. And so I think it was a few months after it came out for sure. But once I got it, man, I abused that thing more like no other.
Did you have Joe and Mac?
Joe and Mac Caveman Ninja? Are you kidding me? I love that game. Actually, it's funny because I don't know if you know this or not, but they just released a trailer. We actually have it on our site right now. Majesco has the rights to the Data East collection, and Data East actually on that collection, it's going to be coming out on the Wii, and they actually have Joe and Mac on it. So it's
great.
The arcade version. So yeah, I love Joe and Mac. The game's phenomenal.
That was some graphics power that you really didn't see on screen. Until that came out, and later I found out that it was an arcade game which I had never seen in the arcades. But at the time when that came out on a Super Nintendo, I was like, "Wow, this is almost like my $1,200 Neo Geo happening here." So
yeah, exactly. And the fact there were games where you could play two players at the same time, but I remember thinking that was just like a really fun thing because you could pick the other player up and you could use them. Use them with you. Some of the same things you're doing on New Super Mario Brothers Wii now.
Yeah.
Now that I really think about it, it's kind of funny.
Yes.
Yeah, Joel Mack was a good one for sure. We actually we do a series called the Video Game Vault for one of our partner sites, Game Trailers, and we actually enshrine that game into the vault, and man, we love that. I love that game. I love Joel Mack.
Yeah, great title. What game would you recommend right now that everyone needs to get out and get by? And I mentioned a couple of really good ones like the Uncharted 2 and the, you mentioned a lot of titles. What would you recommend as a must-have for this holiday season?
Well, I think there's a lot of cool games out there right now. I think 2009 has been an awesome year for gaming. I thought 2008 was really good and 2009 has been really good as well. But I think right now, you know, the games I mentioned earlier, New Super Mario Bros. Wii, Modern Warfare, Uncharted 2, I think Borderlands is really cool. There's a lot of games that really fit a lot of different genres that, no matter what type of gamer you are or what you're into, they're games for you, which is really, really neat. You know, even fighting games like a Tekken 6 or a Street Fighter 4. If you haven't played Street Fighter 4 yet, holy crap. But
now's the time to get it because it's all greatest hits and reduced. It's probably under $25. So
yeah, you know, and if you're down with old school games, you know, there are tons of they may not have been released this year, but there's a ton of compilation discs that are straight up old school arcade games that are ported onto like Wii discs or 360 discs or PS3 discs that are like $20, and you could have 15, 16 arcade games on your 360, on your Wii for like $20. You know, I think like Daddy's greatest hits that's coming out. I mean, I think that's really, really cool, and I'll definitely be picking that up. It's suggested retail price is $19.99, and you get 15 games, including like Bad Dudes and Burger Time. You know, those are like crazy fun, you know?
Sure, sure. On today's show, we are asking each correspondent to bring in one of their bargain bin $15 or under gaming on a budget, $15 under your pick for that.
Sure. Well, I think when you want to look for a budget, you can find some phenomenal games on the Xbox Live Arcade or PSN or even WiiWare. If you look at WiiWare, you got a game like the new Contra game that came out like a month ago. You can download that for $10. I mentioned Jump earlier, which I'm a big fan of supporting independent outlets. And when you have an independent developer selling a game for, you know, $2 or $3 that you'll get, you know, a few hours of entertainment on, I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
So, you know, definitely a game like Jump. I'm trying to be nice to the PlayStation Network, but a lot of the things that are on Xbox Live are also on the PSN, so nothing really comes to mind on the PSN, but I'm sure there's some stuff out there. I definitely turn towards Xbox Live or WiiWare or PSN for some bargain titles. A lot of those things get overlooked, but there's a lot of really quality games out there that are just itching to be bought.
Right on, man. Hey, well, anything else?
I love you. I want to thank everybody for their overwhelming support the last 4 years, and we definitely look forward to continuing this thing. And if you have any videos, any audio, any files, anything, bring it over to ScrewAttack. If you're a gamer, you know where it's at. Gamers don't need YouTube anymore.
No.
Gamers have ScrewAttack.
The future of gaming friendship, ScrewAttack.
That's right. It's great.
Well, thanks, Craig. We appreciate you joining in, and you're welcome back anytime.
Well, thanks, Wiggly. I appreciate it. And thanks for your time, and thanks for giving me the platform to talk.
Right on, man. Bye now.
Right on.
Check out the social networking for video gamers at ScrewAttack.com. Let's get Eric Alex on the line, Keith. Madison, Wisconsin! Eric Alex, go!
Hey, Wiggly.
Yo, man. Hey, were you on the last show?
No.
Oh, that's why I missed you.
Yeah, that's why the ratings were down.
They were down. Hey, yeah, you know what? I really keep a thumb.